you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday. It's July 29th. Wow, Jason, 2016. This month is almost over. We're going to be into August soon.
It's flying by.
Well, I called you just moments ago and said I wanted to share a little God-honoring story, one of those God sightings from my perspective. And so before we jump into this book of Acts, just let me try to briefly recollect. Many of our listeners are aware that my son David graduated from college. He's now working in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was down there a month or so back, helped him get an apartment, and we just really prayed it through. We spent 2 days, and we finally settled on this one. And what was kind of unique wonderful is from his patio, looking out over a field in the small area, there were these three large crosses. I don't know, they're like 30, 50 feet in the air, very large white crosses. And I said, oh, that must be a good church. I'm glad you get to see that as a reminder each and every day. And so we kind of laughed. And one of the employees, one of the managers at this gated community, this apartment complex, was a Christian, because we talked with her the day prior. And I said, hey, are there any good churches around? And she said, yeah, that one with the three crosses, that's where I go, and it's a big church and a lot of good people. So I just prayed it up. Oh, Lord, another confirmation. You're kind of orchestrating David right where he needs to be, and you're putting Christians around him. And so, do you have to answer that phone?
It's okay. I don't know how to turn it off.
Okay. Well, so anyways, we just felt like he was being taken care of by God, and he was grounded and in a good place. And so the next week he goes to church, and wouldn't you know, he emailed me. He said, you wouldn't believe what the message was titled and what it dealt with. And I said, what? And he said it was called David, and that's his name. And it's like God gave a message on David and the characteristics of David being a godly man. And so David said he just really felt like that's where God was going to have him. So fast forward it, I was there 2 weeks ago for a few days, and actually it was the very morning that we were getting ready to go to church that those police officers were shot and ambushed and three died, and we were watching that on the local news, so that was before it made national news. And I said to David, I said, how close is that to where we're at? And it was within 5 miles. You know, nowadays with GPS and phones, you can just put in a location. And so, you know, we were kind of awestruck that that happened that close. And, you know, we were engaged with praying up for the officers and just trying to discern, you know, wow, what do we do? And so we went to church, and, you know, it was fresh on everyone's mind. And this church is very diverse. It, I don't know, probably 60-70% African-American and whites and some Asians, you know, Holly and Esther and David. And it was just kind of neat how it was a wonderful service. They preached God's word, and the pastor's message was on perspective. And even during this tragedy and these uncertain times, they talked about how God had worked up for many months where that Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, they were going to have a canvassing the area. I think they had over 10,000 people signed up to share the good news message throughout Baton Rouge. And I think there were 20 different churches all working together. And so God had been preparing that area, even though this tragedy took place, to have this kind of love extended to all the people through these church members. So I was kind of intrigued, thinking, wow, all this is happening. And, you know, they had that time where hug somebody near you. Well, they hugged down south. I mean, I was getting embraced and hugged by people from all walks of life. And I was like, wow, this is a friendly church. And they were like you. They preached God's message. The worship was wonderful. It was a real diverse, you know, this white guy playing the guitar, this African-American gal with a fantastic voice singing, and a variety of other people. The drummer, this African-American man, was phenomenal. It was a wonderful service. So, you know, I returned home that Sunday night after that tragedy. And so for the last week or so, I've been bacheloring it here and taking care of myself. And we talked the other day about the fruit of the spirits. I've been really intentional, you know, with my morning times. I've prayed and been in God's word and had some really great established patterns again. You know, I don't have to tend to Esther or Holly. And so I'll probably get in trouble for saying that, but I've maximized this time that I've had. And I've been going through old emails to bring you up to date. I had like 1,200 emails in my inbox, and they all had a piece of information or some detail that I had to follow up on or research or tidbit of information that was handy and I needed to know that I hadn't put into subfolders. All to say, I've been going through dozens of these. Every time I log on, I try to get rid of 10 or 20 emails or get the information. Maybe it's somebody interested in a future trip to Israel, so I cut and paste and put it into another document. But I've gone through hundreds of emails. And I came across this one. This was almost exactly 2 years ago. And this is kind of what I wanted to share with our listeners, God's divine sense of humor, or how this piece of information came to me. Because I called this lady yesterday, and it was very interesting. But this was a message from Karen. She summarizes all the calls we get each day, and usually there can be anywhere from 5 to 50 different messages, little lines of this person called, this person needed this. This one goes, Mark, I just realized that I forgot to give you Kim's phone number, and she lists this phone number, and then she gives me her email address. She says, this is the lady from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who found us on the internet and is a faithful listener. She loves the station and even gave a donation today when she called for information about a couple songs. And then her original message was, you know, point number 3. Kim Johnson from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, heard a song that she needed information. She listens via the internet and was very positive about the station. And when I inquired, she said she'd be willing to do a radio spot. She gave a credit card gift for the station as well, as which is in the amber envelope. Yeah, Karen always puts these special things in the certain envelope, and then I see it when I sign thank you letters. All to say that I found this email. I called Kim up yesterday and had a delightful conversation. And I was saying, oh, I was recently down there and went to church. And she said, where'd you go to church? And I said, I think it's called Bethany. It has those three big crosses. She said, that's where I go. I said, really? I said, I was just there. And she said, well, you tell your son David to track me down if he has any questions or needs help. And when you come and visit next time, you make sure you call me up. And so we talked for about 15 minutes, and we even shared some of the illustrations from the pastor's message. And it was like, wow, who would have thought that, you know, here's this gal in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who writes me 2 years ago. Lives in Baton Rouge. That's where David goes to the same church, and small, small world, huh?
It is super small and getting smaller by the minute.
Yeah, yeah. So I just thought, thank you, God. It was another confirmation that David is where God would have him, and he's putting people around him, these believers that love the Lord. And as a, like a proud daddy, it's like, thank you, God, that you got David in a good church, that you're surrounding him with other believers, and he's got a good job. And it just felt like, after talking to this Kim, here's somebody that I would have never even known from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is listening to the station. So, wow, small world.
It's amazing how God uses the technology that we have. You know, some of us wouldn't even think that God's providence is at work, like in Google.
Mm-hmm.
When you get on there and you Google things, but obviously she was poking around the internet, and we don't know if she used Google or how she found the station, but I mean, God guides us. Mm-hmm. You know, man makes his plans, but the Lord guides his steps.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty excited. It was a great day yesterday sharing with David and Holly. You know, here's another confirmation that God even works in those little details in our lives, and probably wants to do a whole lot more if we would just surrender and submit and obey and be attentive to his leading.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, just think, Mark, when we're on the internet, I mean, how many of us, when we're on the internet, are we really thinking, Lord, you know, use this time for your glory, Lord. Use this time to lead and guide me towards your righteousness. I don't think many of us really think that, if we're really honest. And yet here was a prime example where God was doing just that, that he was leading and guiding somebody. You know, we don't really know, but I can gather that if she's been a listener and made a donation, that she is being equipped. She's being encouraged. She's being educated through the radio ministry. Mm-hmm. And so God is using it powerfully in her life. And who would have known? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, we always talk about how God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And just think, I mean, this is playing over the internet, and she's Googling, and God is guiding her and leading her because he knows exactly what she needs. And what's funny is what she needs is hundreds, if not 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
And yet through something that some of us would be frustrated with and kind of write off, you know, the internet or whatever, God's going to use that. He's going to redeem it for his glory.
Yeah. Like you've said about his word, and many times when he answers prayers, it's layered. There's a lot of things being accomplished or worked through. So she was being blessed with the radio ministry, but here I'm being blessed because here's another friend in Christ, a fellow believer that's in the same neighborhood. She knows right where David lives, attends the same church. And, you know, I was kind of hoping that she was like 22 years old and attractive, and maybe she kind of laughs. She's maybe a senior saint or an older lady. She works at an insurance agency. We had a great, delightful conversation, and we both kind of laughed how God used that. And for some reason, I left it in my inbox for a few years. There were some other things on it, and, you know, I never knew David would ever be going to Baton Rouge, so it wasn't like I was leaving it because, you know, maybe he would need some help finding an apartment. This was 2 years ago. He was still in college. But, yeah, here's a new friend, and I do look forward to going down there and worshiping with her and getting to know her. And it was just a delight. She said, however I can help your son, let him know. Here's my phone number. Here's my email. So thank you, God, for how he does orchestrate those kind of humorous things.
Yeah, and I think that that's been a point of prayer for you, too, is just that David would have a good place to go. I mean, we never want to diminish any of that. He's a single young guy who everybody who's single and young needs some good godly people in their life. And so, again, the loving kindness of the Lord to have somebody there ready and prepared, and not only ready and prepared, but from your conversation, somebody willing, you know, so somebody who's willing to say, whatever I can do for your son, I want to do it.
Yeah.
And so, gosh, we just can't discount the massive, massive love of God, his loving kindness, and how he leads and guides. And then just think how he orchestrates all this. You know, he's up there kind of saying, you know, like, okay, Holy Spirit, we're going to send this email, but he's not going to really pay that much attention to it. It's going to have to sit for 2 years. And while we're doing that, we're going to line this woman up, and we're going to get David through MIT, and then we're going to send him down to Baton Rouge, and then we're going to put him in this apartment building that's going to overlook, let's make sure we get him the apartment that overlooks the crosses so that when Mark's down there, he sees it and makes the suggestion, and we need to get that Christian to move in there and manage this. I mean, if you start to map out what God moved in order for all of this to happen, what he orchestrated, it is massive.
Yeah.
And yet his love is even greater than that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, it's incredible to me. It almost takes my breath away when I think about it, that how God works and orchestrates all those things for his glory, but then also for our joy.
Yeah, yeah. And he desires, I'm thinking to the listener that's saying, well, gosh, he hasn't done that for me or that specific. Yes, yes, he has. If you just dig or think about it or be open to it, he delights in doing those kind of things.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you read the Bible, and here I think is some of the problem is that for many of us, we don't spend enough time inside God's Word to understand who God is and to understand how God is. The book of Revelation tells us that he's holding back the wind from the east and the west. And the wind in the east and the west in Revelation is wrath. It's what evil, immoral sinners deserve. And yet God is withholding those because Peter tells us that he's patient, not as we count patience, but he desires all to come to repentance, that none should perish. It says in the Old Testament that God doesn't take delight in the death of the wicked, that God wants people to come to a saving knowledge of who he is. He desires that none would perish. And so God is continually working in such a way. Things should be so much worse for us.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, if it wasn't for God's grace and God's goodness and who God is, things should be so much worse for us. And yet he's withholding the wrath that is deserved for us.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all of that, sent his own son, Jesus Christ. I mean, I just marvel at that. Last Sunday in church, I talked about that. I talked out of Mark chapter 12 and the parable of the tenants. where it said that God sent a servant and he sent another servant and he sent another servant. And as Jesus is telling this parable to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day, he's telling them their own history. He's saying, look, he sent you servants, and those servants were the prophets. And I love that it says, well, I don't love that it says this, but I love the tenacity of God, that his grace and his mercy and his great love, that he keeps sending them. For many of us, we go once and we write somebody off. And God keeps sending servants and keeps sending servants. And the text says that they stoned them, that they beat them, that they killed them, that they drove them away. And Hebrews tells us that too. And yet God's still so tenacious, because as Jesus tells that parable, he says, but there was one more, a beloved son. And God sent the owner of the vineyard sent the beloved son and said, they will respect him. And it is just the great compassion of God that when all other things were exhausted, what did God do? He sent his own son.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a picture of God's massive compassion for us, how much he absolutely loves us, that he would send his own son. And knowing, I mean, the cross, all the things that happened, like, it didn't just sneak up on God. It wasn't like God came back in the room and go, what happened? And the Holy Spirit's like, you know, oh, my gosh, they took him captive and they're going to crucify him. And God's like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen like this. I mean, God knew exactly how all of this was going to go. Tomorrow is not a day that God necessarily knows about. Tomorrow is a day that God is already in. God is omniscient and omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. He looks over the whole entire span of history at one time, and God sees every single moment, past, present, and future, which is the reason why God could say to a man like David, who was an adulterer and who was a murderer, that he was a man after my own heart, because God knew that there was coming a day when Christ would forgive all those sins for those people who knew God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God sees what Christ was going to go through, knew what Christ was going to go through, and yet he still sent his son,
And isn't there that passage where even Jesus, knowing what was ahead of him, persevered and worked through it because of the greater glory that he knew he'd be providing mankind?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus knew. That's why Jesus says in the garden, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. I mean, he knew it was in the cup. The cup was the Old Testament picture of wrath, that God was going to pour out his wrath upon the nations. And so Jesus knew what was in that cup. That's why he was sweating blood. That's why he was weeping as he was, and anguish, the Bible tells him. So much the angels come to attend to him. He knows what's in that cup, and yet he says, Father, I don't want to drink from that cup, but your will be done. Your will be done. And I guarantee you, our worst day is nothing like that day.
Yeah.
Nothing like the day that the Son of God anguished over the wrath of the entire world, all sin, past, present, and future, being poured out on him at one time at the cross. And yet he did that for each one of us. And that love manifests itself in such amazing ways. It puts the right person in a church who Googles a radio station and sends an email and has a radio station guy who doesn't read his email right away and sits for a little while and builds a church next to a apartment building or an apartment building next to a church and puts a manager in there who knows who Jesus Christ is and who wants to point people towards good, Bible-believing, God-loving, God-fearing churches, and puts a kid in MIT. And not only that, but now we have to get into the sub-story about how you were in the service when Holly was going to have Esther, and you walked alongside David and helped to mentor him during a tough time in their life, and how Holly would eventually become your bride. I mean, if we start to look at the massive kind of scope of how God authored all of this together, it would just blow our mind.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably would just lose our breath in the midst of the whole thing. And yet God does all of that because he loves us, and he was willing to come and to take upon him everything that he didn't deserve, because he loves us, because he knows that we deserve better, and that better that we deserve is him. And he's going to do anything he can. I mean, when I think about, as I'm just kind of even marveling right now at your story, that God did all of that stuff because he knew that David deserved him. And he wanted David to continue to know who he was. He wanted David to go somewhere where David not only would hear about him, but David would be loved. And David would even have kind of a few warriors, if I might want to say. I think this woman is kind of she sounds like she's a prayer warrior. Sounds like she's somebody sent by God. This person who says, is there anything you need? Because I'll do it. I mean, that's pretty fantastic when you think about it.
Yeah.
I have to wipe the tears from my eyes right now because I'm just thinking, and not only does that, what does that say about God's love for you, God's love for Holly, God's love for Esther, God's love for your family, but God's love for David?
Yeah.
That God wants to ensure that everything is there, that David will not forget about who he is. And listen, we're just being honest. David's a young guy now with a good job. He's making some pretty good money. And this is the time when many young men are challenged to forget about God, to begin to think about, well, the new TV and the nice car and going on a trip here and meeting some girls over here and doing all this stuff. This is the time when many young men will forget God. And God is impressing in this moment upon your family that I have not forgotten about you, David. I'm going to put some crosses right outside your window so you can't forget about me. I'm going to send a missionary of encouragement who's going to send an email 2 years earlier so you don't forget about me. I'm going to create a bridge here that it's impossible for you to forget about.
And I think you said on the front end of this program that the very first message of the Sunday that he goes to that church, it's all about David. Even David, he said, wow, what are the odds that he had a great twinkle in his eye. I thought, thank you, God. And even, how much more clear was he supposed to be in that church?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a great God we serve. And I love the word that you've used, Jason, how tenacious God is, that none would reject him, that he wants all to come to know him, and how when we grapple or grasp and really ponder his great love for us, it is overwhelming. It's unmeasurable, and it's really unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, when you think about, again, there's been some situations in my life, I've got a journal, where I think in a few different places we were really praying, as things started to come together, I started to write names down. There was a season of life. I don't do that much anymore. And I think your story makes me think I want to do that again. But there were some situations that happened where I would write down names connected to something. And I think one time I had an incident that happened and there was 25 people who were directly connected to that, who were not in any way, shape, or form connected to each other. And so it was a place where God used 25 different people who really didn't know that they were on mission together. They were on mission sent in separate ways, they thought. But all of that was feeding into this moment that God was going to use for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I think when we get up in the morning and we, you know, maybe the first prayer we say is, here I am, Lord, send me, or God, use me for your glory, or God, I just want to give myself to your will. Your will be done today. Sometimes I think we don't realize how powerful that prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is going to use us in ways, and you may today end the day and say, maybe you're the radio listener who ends the day and you say, you know, God didn't even use me today. I didn't feel like I made a difference anywhere. I didn't even, you know what? That's impossible. I would tell you that maybe that building manager didn't think that he was used by God many days. And yet, you know, the man sat by the pool by Bethesda for how long before Jesus came and healed him? The man sat by the gate beautiful for how long before Peter and John came and said, silver and gold we don't have, but the Lord Jesus Christ we do? How many years did people sit and wait because God had them there for a reason? Because God had a moment that he was putting together, that he was stringing pearls into one moment where he was going to do something amazing.
Yeah.
And so maybe today it doesn't feel like you've hit the home run or you've made the touchdown for Jesus. That's okay, because today you were just part of the team.
Yeah, and it could have been you might have just written an email that might take 2 years. Now, they always get read right away. It's just sometimes I don't know what I want to do with them. But hey,
I was just teasing you a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, SRN News, it's teasing me. It wants to get played. So thank you, Jason, for being available. We'll continue to pray up your ankle and get you driving and over here. Maybe we'll have a program together next Wednesday. But thanks for being available and being an encouragement to my family and to our listeners. And we just pray up your message and the pastors that will be proclaiming and declaring God's word this Sunday. Please, listener, get into a good Bible-believing church and allow God to speak through these pastors that pray up their messages and work diligently all week long to divide God's word properly. So get in church on Sunday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.